Arwa, you've been to Idlib several times. Unfortunately, you've seen these kinds of atrocities in Syria. Do you think this reported chemical attack, first of all, is the work of the Syrian regime?
Well, that's what opposition activists are on the ground are saying and reporting. In fact, one local journalist who filmed some of the images that have been put out there told CNN that there were multiple strikes that morning and that he was hiding under a building in a bomb shelter. He also said that when he finally came out, he had trouble breathing. He was speaking with the doctors there. He was coughing very heavily.
You know, the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, Arwa, has said that the long-term status of the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad will be decided by the Syrian people. I want you to listen to what Senator John McCain said this morning in reacting.
Barack Obama said that they would have a red line. They crossed it, and he did nothing. And Bashar Assad and his friends, the Russians, take note of what Americans say. I'm sure they took note of what our Secretary of State said just the other day, that the Syrian people would be determining their own future themselves. That one of the more incredible statements I've ever heard.
So do you think Bashar al-Assad, Arwa, could be emboldened by the Trump administration's statements, most recent statements, this past week on Syria?
I think that's a pretty safe assumption to make. As we heard there, the Syrian president was emboldened by the fact that former President Barack Obama's red line was crossed and there was absolutely no accountability, Wolf. But this certainly sends a very stark and disheartening message. If the United States, of all countries, is going to allow these kinds of actions, these kinds of deaths, these kinds of acts of sheer and utter incomprehensible violence to go forward, then what has happened to the humanity that America is meant to be upholding? What has happened to America's moral high ground?
Arwa Damon joining us from New York. She spent a lot of time in Syria over these past several years. Arwa, thank you very much.
And let me tell you, folks, there's been a lot of crazy stuff going on in the last few days. You're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, on Podomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Quan at your-poetry.com. We're on SoundCloud and Pinterest. There has been a lot of crazy things going on. And you know, they say like every 10 years, the world gets into a crazy state where you think, it's going to happen. The Third World War, you know, it's going to happen. Every 10 years, we get into this state. And we're right about that time. So, just look around. It's bananas, let me tell you. Anyway, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
A lot of good offices. It is a special office, okay?
Yes, sir.
So we'll go over there. We'll take some pictures, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you all very much.
Bridget, how about that bomb?
Very, very proud of the people. Another successful job. We're very, very proud of our military. Just like we're proud of the folks in this room, we are so proud of our military, and it was another successful event.
Did you authorize it, sir?
Everybody knows exactly what happened, so, and what I do is I authorize my military. We have the greatest military in the world, and they've done a job as usual, so we have given them total authorization, and that's what they're doing. And frankly, that's why they've been so successful lately. If you look at what's happened over the last 8 weeks and compare that really to what's happened over the last 8 years, you'll see there's a tremendous difference, So we have incredible leaders in the military, and we have incredible military, and we are very proud of them. And this was another very, very successful mission. Thank you very much.
Did you send a message to North Korea?
Thank you.
Did you send a message to North Korea?
I don't know if this sends a message. It doesn't make any difference if it does or not. North Korea is a problem. The problem will be taken care of. I will say this. I think China has really been working very hard. I have really gotten to like and respect, as you know, President Xi. He's a terrific person. Spent a lot of time together in Florida. And he's a very special man, so we'll see how it goes. I think he's going to try very hard.
Thank you.
I don't know what to think about it, folks. I mean, there's one side of me saying, you know what, man, that's fantastic, dude. You know? He hit ISIS with the biggest non-nuclear bomb that exists. And that is, you know, I gotta say, that's kind of awesome. You know, that's kind of awesome. I gotta take my hats off there. I gotta take my hats off. You know? And the other thing is that, as he said, he left it up to the military. He didn't make the decision. He left it up to the military. He couldn't make the decision. He doesn't know what's going on. He talks a lot of crap, but he knows he has to leave it up to the people that know what they're doing. And that's what he did. And that's what they did. They did what they know to do. And they did a damn good job. You know? I got nothing to say. You know? Anyway, you listen to the Views with a Twist. I'll be back. We'll be right back.
This is Dabu 7. Just a quick heads up for those that may be in New Jersey using the transit and heading toward Penn Station. This is the second time in 2 weeks that we have had a train derailment at Penn Station. The last one was not that severe. This one wasn't like the one a while back where they just crashed into the whole thing and dropped some of the beams and the scaffolding had collapsed down. Nothing like that here, but they're calling it a slow speed derailment that took place around 9 a.m. They're saying that the train pulled into track 9 at Penn Station with 1,200 riders on board when this happened. Now, they're now being diverted to Hoboken. And they are saying that there was at least one individual injured in this event that they were carrying out here on a stretcher. So, this coming on the heels of a massive terror attack that just took place in St. Petersburg, Russia, at a metro station, at a subway, there was a blast that killed at least 9 people, injured many more, and we just got reports that in St. Petersburg, at that metro station, they just defused another IED. So there were multiple explosives planted on that train, one of them going off, one of them they were able to defuse. I will leave a link for this below, and I will continue to update with more as I come across it. Make sure you're following me on Twitter for the latest updates. Peace.
Yeah, and for those of you that live in New York, because I live in New York, this, you know, I do this podcast from Jamaica, Queens, New York. It's really been a hassle with this whole Penn. They said, what did they say? They said something like 11 out of 21 tracks were knocked out. You know, the funny thing is, in the beginning they said it wasn't such a big deal. It was just a slow derailment. No big deal. And then all of a sudden they said, yeah, there's like 11, you know, or some ridiculous amount of numbers out of 21. I think it was like 11 out of 21 tracks were knocked out. And now today, once again, today is Friday the 14th. There's more delays at Penn Station. And this has been going on for over a week. You know, so, yeah, listen, I feel for you people coming from, you know, New Jersey and Long Island and stuff like that. I couldn't do it because I'm just afraid of those damn trains. Those trains break down all of the time. I mean, you know, the equipment is so antiquated. The tracks are antiquated. Everything is so old. And, you know, they've wasted time, you know, whether purposely wasted time or whether they just didn't get funding or whatever to upgrade, like, these tunnels and these tracks and these switches. And, you know, everything needs to be upgraded. And, it hasn't been done, and now all of a sudden it's coming into conversation, and it's, you know, it's a shame that it has to take so damn long, you know, and that so many things have to happen before you suddenly wake up and say, ah, Jesus, we need to do something about this. It's trippy, folks, I'll tell you. Anyway, you listen to interviews with a twist on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS on Podomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Tawa Kwan at your-poetry.com, on SoundCloud and Pinterest. I'll be back.
Russia does it.
Don Rickles was known for his unique brand of insult comedy. His humor was cutting, but never mean-spirited.
What I do is exaggerate life and make fun. I don't have to apologize for it.
Born Donald J. Rickles in Queens, New York on May 8, 1926, he got his start as a comedian on the club circuit. Rickles was discovered by none other than Frank Sinatra at Murray Franklin's nightclub during the 1950s. He told CNN's Larry King in 2004 how his friendship with the late American icon began.
And he sat down right in the front, and I started to do the thing. And one of the famous lines was, "Stand up, Frank, be yourself, hit somebody," you know. And the whole audience laughed, and all these guys with him went, "What do you think?"
Sinatra affectionately called Rickles Bullethead and championed the up-and-coming comedian's career. Their friendship survived several decades, with Rickles taking jabs at old Blue Eyes during his 80th birthday celebration in 1995.
"Now, God bless you, Frank. I make fun of you. What could you do to me?"
He was a great reactor for me, and he enjoyed my sense of humor, and I'm very grateful for it.
Rickles tested his acting chops in the 1958 movie Run Silent, Run Deep, opposite Clark Gable. He also made appearances in the popular Beach Blanket film series with Annette Funicello and Frankie Avalon.
"I couldn't have done it better myself, if I could have done it."
Rickles caught Johnny Carson's attention and in 1965 began making regular appearances on The Tonight Show. Carson dubbed him Mr. Warmth.
"I started with him when the show was 90 minutes and I had great fun with him and I was free form and Johnny would set me up to make me look like a real champ. And that was one of the exciting parts of my life."
Rickles continued to make movies and soon became the go-to guy for laughs. In 1985, he performed at Ronald Reagan's second inaugural ball. He would later call the show the highlight of his career. In 1995, Rickles played Robert De Niro's trusted floor boss in Martin Scorsese's Casino. Mr. Warmth then became the voice of Mr. Potato Head in Disney Pixar's Toy Story franchise. He even had the chance to incorporate one of his famous calling cards.
What are you looking at, you hockey puck?
The funny man was honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 2000. He then became a New York Times best-selling author in 2007 with his memoir, Rickles Book. The following year, his documentary, Mr. Warmth, The Don Rickles Project, earned him 2 Emmy Awards.
Well, it's like an accomplishment after some 55 years in the business, from starting out in tough joints and saloons and striptease, what they call those days, striptease joints, and to finally get to this makes me very proud.
Well, reporters everywhere are now freaking out about what Bill O'Reilly said on television last night. Bad news for the fake stream media. Paris Swade for Liberty Writers News reports at Fox News Bill O'Reilly is flaming mad at how the mainstream media treated the case of the 2 immigrant teens. One of them is in the United States illegally and was accused of raping a Maryland high school student. Take a look. Here's now Bill O'Reilly, not too happy.
As we reported extensively last night, a 14-year-old girl in Rockville, Maryland, was raped in a high school bathroom by 2 men allegedly in this country illegally. The incident is beyond shocking. An 18-year-old from Guatemala and a 17-year-old from El Salvador were freshmen at the school. Freshmen. Authorities say they dragged the 14-year-old into a bathroom, brutally raped her. Fox News covered the story extensively, as I said, last night. But ABC, NBC, CBS did not cover it on their nightly news broadcasts, nor did they cover it this morning. And they have hours of airtime in the morning. CNN did not cover the Maryland story in prime time last night. Ditto MSNBC. That is beyond anything I have ever seen in my 40 years plus of journalism. A story of that magnitude ignored by the national media.
ABC, NBC, CBS did not cover it on their nightly news broadcasts. Now, that was from his talking points memo, and he continued that CNN did not cover the Maryland story in primetime or MSNBC. And he was quite upset that something of this magnitude, not on any of the network's news reporting. He said he hadn't seen that in 40 years of his career. And then he went on to say, he says, we know why. It's because illegal immigration is a political issue. They know that the story would reinforce President Trump's positions on immigration. Because those networks hate Donald Trump, they hate America, they hate nationalism, and since they're shills for globalism, they are not going to report on anything that's going to advance the president's positions. And that is the truth. So what are your thoughts on the fake stream press now, clearly not reporting on such a horrific story, absolutely horrific story? Comment below, subscribe for updates. If you like what we're doing here, give us a thumbs up and share this report on your social networks. For the Next News Network, I'm Gary Franchi.
With the rise of domestic terrorism and stricter gun laws to contend with, Americans are searching for better ways to be prepared for any situation. How are they doing that? Simply put, a flashlight. And not just any flashlight. The TC-1200 military-grade flashlight from OneTac.com. It has just been released to the public for the first time and is already selling out. And here is why. Powered by the most advanced Cree LED technology in marketing today, makes the TC-1200 the most powerful single LED flashlight for its size. It's amazingly bright with up to 1200 lumens, has a lamp life of 100,000 hours, and is made from military-grade aluminum for extra durability. It is compact and lightweight, which makes it perfect for taking with you anywhere you go. At 75% the regular price and free shipping, the OneTac TC-1200 is the only high-powered flashlight you will ever need in your arsenal. Visit OneTac.com today before they're out of stock. OneTac. Power, strength, and protection.
You possess the power to impact the global narrative. Please share this report. And to get more videos like this, become a Next News subscriber by clicking the link below. Thank you for watching the Next News Network.
Yes, and thank you for that information. Let me tell you, I don't know a whole lot. Give me a second here. I don't know a whole lot about that Bill O'Reilly thing, but, you know, just hearing, you know, what was said and, wow, that's actually a lot to take in, to be honest with you. That's a whole lot to take in. And, I can't even form an opinion. You know, I like Bill O'Reilly, you know, and, something like this would, of course, possibly alter my opinions over Bill O'Reilly, of course. Yeah. First, let me say this. I love Don Rickles. Don Rickles is the greatest. He's such a fantastic comedian. He was such a great person. And every time I saw Don Rickles, he made me laugh. And it is a shame. We pass. We go over the rainbow. And he's gone over the rainbow. Okay, so now back to Bill O'Reilly. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to say. I heard what he said, because, you know, like a ton of advertisers backed out of his show. I mean, a ton. Probably every advertiser he had backed out of his show. They just all backed out. And I'm like, well, what went down? And you just heard my boy here from whoever they were say whatever it was, which still to me isn't making much sense. I don't know. Maybe I'm kind of lost. You know, no, I mean, I get it, but I don't get it. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's, you know, it is what it is. I don't make Bill O'Reilly money, so I'm not going to worry for Bill O'Reilly. He'll worry for himself. Okay? Anyway, you're listening to Views with a Twist. Let me give my shout-outs. My shout-outs to the NYPD, the FDNY, the ASPCA, North Shore Animal League, SOS Wildlife of India, Alle meine Freunde in Deutschland. Everyone that listens to me, I was out last week. I'm kind of really off with the shows because, you know, I spent a couple of days, you know, I told you the thing with the cat, and, you know, spent a couple of days in the hospital, and I've been kind of off, and I've had fevers, and, you know, I'm off and on, so it's, you know, it's been kind of an up and down thing. I'm trying to get back just into being myself again, and, yeah. So, I guess I said SOS Wildlife of India, I said, right? Yeah. All pet caretakers and first responders, animal caretakers. Okay. All right. So either I'll be back or I won't.
Now, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson initially declined to comment, but Elaine, later in the afternoon, issued a statement that was devoid of domestic politics, which said, quote, Russia and Iran bear great moral responsibility for these deaths.
Well, Margaret, President Trump blames the Obama administration. I'm curious, what is the Trump administration's policy in regards to the Syrian government and President Assad? Is there a stated Syria policy?
There isn't a developed Syria policy. It's being worked on right now. What we have are some words issued by Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, and the UN ambassador. And what we know is while the rhetoric is very different than the Obama administration, more or less the policy remains the same. That is, the Trump administration has dropped the pretense of calling for Assad to step down. That was something that President Obama had called for but did nothing to actually make happen. And in fact, by the end of the Obama administration, the CIA director, John Brennan, said it would actually be a disaster for Assad to immediately leave. Their plan was to initially phase him out over time. That obviously never happened because Bashar al-Assad outlasted President Obama in office. Now it's President Trump's problem, and he's got to figure that out. What they've said is that they are not going to force regime change, but they don't stand by the actions of the dictator Bashar al-Assad, who they clearly say was violating humanitarian law and international law by carrying out these attacks on his own people. So short of rhetoric, we haven't seen action. We don't know what's next. But what we do know is that both Donald Trump and Barack Obama have been very hesitant to dedicate U.S. boots on the ground or real U.S. military assets to stopping the slaughter in Syria.
Margaret, I want to ask you about your reporting that the White House is facing criticism for its response to the attack. How unusual is that type of statement, and what are you hearing? What else are you hearing in Washington?
Well, Elaine, you'd like to think that there are some things above politics in Washington, and certainly images of small children dying in front of a camera, foaming at the mouth, might be one of those occasions where you don't hear about politics. And that is what was so shocking to so many national security officials, to diplomats, to U.S. officials, even those within the current administration, when they saw this statement saying this was an opportunity for President Trump to say what he stands for, not just what he is against in terms of his predecessor. He could have stood up and said something more in terms of this is what we will do to uphold it. While the White House did have their spokesperson, Sean Spicer, come out and indicate that there will be further diplomatic talks at the United Nations and that they're consulting with allies, we didn't hear what President Trump sees happening in terms of what he's going to do about it. Now, we will hear from the president himself tomorrow. He's meeting with King Abdullah of Jordan, a ruler who is directly impacted right on his border by the consequences of what happens in Syria because of the refugee flow and because of the threat of fighting spilling across that border. So maybe we'll get more tomorrow that will be devoid of politics. But today, a day where you might expect one, we didn't get that kind of statement from this White House.
All right. Margaret Brennan at the White House for us. Margaret, thank you.
And, you know, folks, it's never about, you know, politicians should know this. It's not about force. It's never about force. It's about having a person in your back pocket. You know, you need to, excuse me. Sanctions are one thing, but you need to be able to put a person, whether it be a person or a country, I'm putting it in terms of a person now. It's just like playing chess. What you want to do is you want to surround the queen. You want to trap the queen so the queen can't move. The queen can't move. You win. You know? So what you want to do in politics like this is you don't want to use force necessarily. You use force if you really need to make a point. Like that thing that Trump did with the Moab in Afghanistan was to make a point. I mean, he only killed like 36, 37 ISIS guys. Okay, there's still a bunch of them running around. So that's basically just to make a point. What you want to do is what he is doing with China. And I like the move. I like the move. Because what he wants to have, and Trump is good at this, he wants to have that Chinese prime minister in his back pocket. Because he knows that Chinese prime minister can shut down North Korea. Okay, that's the important thing. Now, he would like to have a Putin in his back pocket, but Putin would like to have Trump in his back pocket. So, these guys are butting heads. You know, and he needs to get to somebody that can talk to Assad. So that it doesn't have to get out of hand and haywire. You know? Because what it is, and
you hear a lot of these guys from these different countries, whether it's Japan or Afghanistan or you know, whether it's Assad or whoever, you know, and they're talking about, you know, oh, he's making things unstable. You know, he's bringing things to a third world war. Remember what I said in the beginning, where every 10 years we get this kind of thing where we're always teetering on a third world war, you know, or our next world war, you know? Well, you know, I think this is like the 10th year or something, you know? But anyway, the thing is this. Trump is so unorthodox that these people don't know what to do with him. They don't know what to do with him. They don't know how to react to him. Trump is good enough to have several countries in his back pocket if he wanted to do it. I believe he can do that. I believe that if he does what he did with the military when he said, listen, I just let them do their thing. They bombed Afghanistan with the big bomb. I just gave them the green light. If he just does that, give them the green light, give these people the green light, give the CIA the green light, give those people the green light, and you just delegate and shake people's hands and get people in your back pockets, I will vote for you for another 4 years. I would. I would vote for you, but you would have to change the cabinet, because your cabinet's full of racists. So that has to change. Okay? Other than that, good job, man. You're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR. I'm going to be back. Or maybe not. Well, on your iTunes, your iOS, Podomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Tawa Kwan at your-poetry.com. We're on Pinterest and SoundCloud and blah, 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 blah. Later. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is JDR. I'm here with my friend Tawa Kwan. And we want you to get your ass on together and hang out with us and get right. Ain't that stupid? Come on, get me. That's right. This is for you, people. find that a dance floor calling. Oh, I think it's about time for you people to get on it. Shake your stuff like you ain't never had enough. Too groovy for me. So thank you folks for being here and listening to my man Tawar Kwan and rocking up with us and just getting right. I'm about to go backstage and get right. Oh yeah. See you at the next CD.
I remember one time I got some Playboy bunny pussy. I thought I was in the big time. Going home with a Playboy bunny. You dig? We was going to have a nice little midnight snack. I went to her apartment and was one of the apartment was bad. It was one of them apartments that if I don't get the pussy, I can fuck this couch. And we started talking, and she had seen my act. She said, oh, I really like the way you do those little kids in your act. I said, great. Can you talk like a little kid? She said, what, now? Yeah, just do a little. I feel funny. I mean, like, okay. Just like, you mean like when I do this, like that? She said, yeah. I said, you like that, huh? And she started taking off clothes. And the more clothes she took off, the younger I got. When she got to her panties, I was on the floor talking about, mama, mama. She gave birth to me about 9:30.
For all of us at the ASPCA, working to save the lives of animals is on our minds every day. And in the past year, I've been inspired by the outpouring of support we've received from members like you. Thousands of animals have been saved from deplorable conditions by our emergency responders, and thousands more were given life-saving medical treatment, and still even more were impacted by the passage of humane animal welfare laws in states across the country, laws that you helped us fight for. Whether rescuing innocent dogs from the horrors of dogfighting, responding to natural disasters, or putting an end to the cruel and inhumane practices on factory farms, our commitment to giving a voice to the voiceless is renewed every day. But our work depends on the dedicated support of people like you. Every day, I am thankful for those who take time out to volunteer, to share our stories, and to donate. Thank you for making this another year of progress for animals and for saving lives with us every day.